Thanks for tuning in to the Myth of Education podcast. I appreciate everyone's support in sharing the episodes and offering positive feedback. We're just getting started over here. I won't be doing my typical intro and outro for this episode. You can learn more about my show by visiting mythofeducation.com. Although we're back to our regularly scheduled broadcast, I wanted to dedicate this episode to Charlie Kirk. The podcast that you're about to hear was recorded on September 11th and posted to my ministry podcast, Guard Your Faith. And you can visit bigviewsmallwindow.com to learn more about where I stand on various issues, including faith and morality. As always, I'll leave links for you in the show notes. Please continue to pray for Mrs. Erica Kirk, the kids, the Kirk family, as well as everyone who's still working at Turning Point USA, Turning Point Action, Blexit, Turning Point Education, formerly Academy. It's just one big family over there. I'm also going to ask that you refrain from sharing the video of CK being brutally murdered, and also refrain from sharing any conspiracy theories surrounding his death. None of that is helpful. Just pray and commit your life to Christ if you haven't done so already. That's what CK would want you to do. Thank you. I know I'm not very consistent with updating the Guard Your Faith podcast. I have other projects that consume my time. And if you're following me on social media, then you know. But I wanted to record this episode and, you know, give it as a tribute to Charlie Kirk. I want to start by saying when I moved to Arizona in 2019, I was not a politically active person. It was pathetic, really. I had registered to vote and voted in maybe one midterm election, and this was in 2019. Don't judge. There's still a lot of people who haven't figured out that this is a civic duty and that you should carry some conviction if you're not, you know, participating. Even though it's a corrupt binary system, it's the power and the authority of the vote is what God has given us to make sure that we advance the kingdom in our choices and what we want to see happen on the world stage. But I voted in my first presidential election in 2020. Yes, I did vote for Trump. There was really no other option. And interesting, the first time that I voted, my vote was stolen. And I saw, you know, several people online at that time who were saying, what's the point? It doesn't even matter. I'm just not going to participate no more. And I found myself in all of the comment sections saying, what kind of attitude is this? This is an attitude that I've carried most of my adult life. And now I feel guilty. I have some weight on my shoulders that my nation looks the way it does because I'm not, you know, evangelizing anybody, and I'm not speaking truth where I see lies. Now I know I have one more thing that I can do with my voice. And so I haven't backed down since. And I want to say around 2020, 2021, when, you know, the pandemic was finally subsiding, I started going to Dream City. I think it was on Wednesday nights at that time. And at the time it was called Freedom Square. And then eventually it changed over to Freedom Nights. And I want to say a quick shout out to pastors Luke and Angie over there at Dream City. You are pretty much the only mega church that gets a pass with me because you're doing something. You're not just going around buying up all the real estate and trying to put a bunch of button seats and then charging them tithes and offerings just to get the word of God. That seems to be the MO for mega churches. I won't name any other in the city of Phoenix who's doing exactly what I just described. But I want to say that Dream City is the one mega church, at least that I've seen, that I've found, that's doing it right. They're actually getting people off the streets. For moms that choose life, they're helping them raise their kids. They're giving people cars, you know. They are pastors that I don't mind are millionaires, if they are, because I see that they're using millions to actually help other people. They're not just squatting on it and wearing $10,000 watches and whatnot. AZ wouldn't be the same without Dream City, I guess, is what I want to say. And I know there are a lot of other smaller churches going after God. And it's all adding to the crescendo of praise and worship and hoping that, you know, God will change our city. And the Lord changes cities by changing hearts. And I feel like Dream City understands that on, you know, to some level. But Charlie Kirk, that was how I got wind of him, was by going to Freedom Nights. And listening to him, he was the one that, you know, led the youth and let us know that it is possible to be a Christian and also be involved in politics. Now, obviously, when you read the scriptures, you're not going to get, you know, a hardcore do or don't when it comes to navigating politics. I said this in my Facebook Live, that basically politics is the devil's territory. And you know it when you step into it, because it's full of corruption and greed, pride and perversion. And everybody has a plan, right? Very few people in politics are reading their Bibles and listening to God and legislating as he would. So I started going to the Freedom Nights, and I was listening to the young people come up to the microphone saying, hey, they want me to take this shot so I can keep my scholarship, and I'm on this sports team. They want me to take this shot. And CK was the one that was telling them, sacrifice it, because God will give you something better. Don't do that to your body. Don't become a government experiment, you know? And I loved that about him. He had that boldness. And so by 2022, I came on board as a full-time employee at Turning Point USA, and I was a keyboard warrior. And the project that I worked on was called the School Board Watch List, and many of you know it and probably still use it as a tool. And for those of you that are listening to this, you know what's up, and you've read the things that I've put on there, and I've helped you expose things in your school district. But I was a keyboard warrior. I learned how to navigate the K-12 system online, how to look up policies and curriculum and contact board members and superintendents to ask them, you know, like, what's your problem? Why are you putting these policies in place? And why are you teaching children these things? And I had parents from all over the country reaching out to the school board watch list, and I was interviewing them and putting their stories out there and giving them a voice. You know, I used that platform to give them a platform and help disrupt the corruption that was going on in K-12 schools. And I really enjoyed that project. By 2023, I had boots on the ground. That was literally like an initiative, I felt like, you know, and I led that. I had a few team members with me, and we were going across the valley, and we went down to Catalina Foothills in Tucson. Like, we were just kind of terrorizing the left, for a better way to put it. We were going around and speaking the truth and garnering a lot of attention in the process, because, you know, I was affiliated with Turning Point. And so it was fun, you know, while it lasted. It was hilarious. And some of that work I continue on today. Like I said, if you're following me online, then you know about my other podcast, The Myth of Education. You know about my Substack over there. It's called parentspayattention.com. So a lot of that work that was inspired by working in CK's organization still continues. By May of 2025, so earlier this year, I departed from Turning Point USA, and I can't get into the details of that, and I don't know, I don't think that's really important, but I will say I didn't know CK, you know, personally, except in passing. We just had maybe a few, like, parking lot conversations, said hey to him in the gym once or twice, and I will say this, he is let me qualify this first. I've had a lot of jobs, and I've worked for a lot of organizations, for-profit, not-profit, corporate, whatever. And I would say out of all of the organizations that I worked for, he was the best CEO that I had ever had. And if you saw my resume, you would know that means something. Don't judge. Some people, you know, change marriages. I change jobs. So there's that. But Charlie Kirk, he was a good man. You know what I mean? Good, obviously, being the most relative term, because we know by scripture, speaking scripturally, that God is the one who's good. We know that goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying to you is as good as earthly good someone could be, Charlie Kirk was that person. Plus, he loved the Lord, you know. Now, there was this one time on his podcast, right? Because, like, Charlie used to say, he said crazy things on his podcast, right? I was not one of those people that was just kind of a yes man, you know, clapping like a seal every time Charlie would say something, mic drop and all this. Like, no, I critiqued some of the things that he said, because I was just like, what, boss? Like, what are you saying? This is going out all over the nation. And there was this one time, I think he was sitting around with like three or four gentlemen. It was kind of just one of those bro code podcasts, I think. And Charlie Kirk, out of his mouth, he said something like, once you hit your late 30s or your early 40s, he said something like that, then you're past your prime. And this was in the context of, you know, a woman getting married, giving birth and all that. And I just thought that that was the craziest thing. I just thought that was the craziest thing for him to say. Obviously, I mean, like, I'm an unmarried woman and I'm in my 40s now. And I mean, it's not like I took offense to it or anything, but it was a running joke for a long time because I was one of maybe what, like six people in the whole organization who was close to or over the age of 40. And so he would just, CK just, he said crazy things sometimes. And there were people who were offended by some things that he said, you know, because you're just kind of out and about. And it's like, well, did you hear this podcast? And he said this and he said that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. He's human. And he's a bit cray cray when it comes to certain topics. You don't have to agree with everything. You know what I mean? But even if you didn't agree with him, you were on the same side of the issues. There was literally no reason to hate Charlie Kirk. The people that hate him, there's something wrong with them. There wasn't anything wrong with CK. I ain't saying he was perfect, that he walked on water, nothing like that. But I just want to say that all of that hatred, like I said in my Facebook Live, hatred leads you to become a murderer. And that's what we're seeing from the left and the Democrat Party, that this is the party of hate. This is the party of murder. They want to kill children from conception all the way up to, you know, after they're born, just leave them there to cry and die. There's evil that is coming through both sides of the issue, but there's nothing quite like giving yourself over to do evil in the sight of the Lord like people who are on the far left. So I did just have one contention with Charlie Kirk, if you can believe that. There is just one thing, and it's who he left in charge of his organization. And I just want to say this to those who are CEOs of small and big companies. Please, 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 whatever you do, treat the people that are on the lower level of your organization with respect. Pay them their wages if they've earned them. Pay them their commissions if they've earned them. Promote them if they've shown you loyalty and they've been there for a while. Find something else for them to do in the way of, you know, increasing their responsibilities if they're asking you for that, because they have made you money and they have helped you to promote your business and things like that. So because I'm under an NDA, obviously I can't get into details and I'm not going to name drop. But what I want to say is that I never blamed CK for that or whatever. I just think that if you are someone who is very influential and high up, you need to be very careful about who you allow close to you. It's because people who don't fear God, those are not people to be trusted. Those are not people to leave in charge of your prized possession, of your legacy, because now you don't even know what direction they're going to take it. I have to leave it at that. Other than that, I would say that Charlie Kirk, he did everything else right. He served his country well. He loved his wife well. He loved his children well. And he carried on about Jesus Christ. I have no doubt in my mind that he is with the Lord and that he's better off than we are and what we still are left here to deal with in the fallout. But he led the way and showed a lot of young people what to do. You don't back down. You don't cower. You stand for truth. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you know that death is just a door to life, to eternal life, you know. And I want to say, for the assassination that happened, Charlie Kirk was not in the wrong place at the wrong time. It wasn't a situation to where, oh, if he had just, you know, decided to do this or decided to do that. Or no, he was doing what God had called him to do. This is all risk. Even I take risks by publishing the things that I publish and stepping into boardrooms. There's crazy people on all levels of society looking to do harm. And so we can't cower in fear and hide out in our church buildings. Let me get on Christians a little bit. Come closer. Those of you who profess to believe in Jesus Christ, but you haven't read your Bible, shame on you. You need to knock the dust off the Bible and find out what he says. How can you call yourself a Christian if you don't even read his word? You're following some other God if you're not reading scripture. There's 66 books, plenty of topics and stories, true stories and exploits that the Lord did on behalf of his people. And his people are us, those who are carrying the Holy Spirit. And so for that reason, you owe it to the Lord to make sure that you can hear his voice in your everyday life. And don't be hateful. towards people who believe differently than you, or they interpret the scriptures differently than you. It's time for all of that to cease, because we're all getting something wrong. You can be Baptist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, whatever. We're all going to have our flavor. But if you read the first three chapters of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, said, stop dividing yourselves. Why are you calling yourselves after Apollos and after Paul and after Cephas? Why are you calling yourselves after other men's names? These are just vessels through whom you believed. These people are not Christ. So I hope that Charlie's death will bring a more unified front for conservatives, and that we would fight evil the way that it should be fought. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's against wicked principalities and rulers in high places. And we just have a lot of people on the ground who are linked up to those principalities and evil powers, and they're giving themselves over to demons. What we want to do is we want to do our best to try to save the soul and gain that territory, that heart for Jesus Christ. We want to break down all of the resistance to the expansion of his kingdom and go after individual hearts. That's what CK did, and I believe that that is the legacy that he has left behind for us to continue to do. And I can't wait to see who little Charlie and who little Erica grow up to be, because his kids are going to be some dynamic people. What the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. You'll see. Trust in the Lord's sovereignty. This is what I want to say to Christian conservatives who may be angry. If you really love the Lord, if you really love him, you'll trust him, right? This is what I've had to learn. And by trusting him, it means that you have to submit to his sovereignty. Sovereignty is something that we don't understand, because we are flawed human beings. We're sinful. And we think of righteousness in, you know, subjective terms. But I believe it was the prophet Isaiah who said, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And elsewhere in scripture, it talks about not boasting about tomorrow, because you don't know what the day will hold, and that boasting is evil. So there's really a level of humbleness and humility and repentance that God is calling this nation to. The things that we see taking place, so the children being trafficked, transgenderism, and naked people marching in our streets for pride, and all of the corruption and lies and hatred, these things are bringing a curse upon the nation. I defy anyone, any happy preacher, any false prophet who's sitting around talking about how blessed we are and God's about ready to bless you, and in the next breath they're asking you for some money. I defy all of that. You need to look into the Word of God. And then you need to look at the culture, look at the Word of God, and then look at the headlines, look at the Word of God, and then look at the status and the soul of this nation and the nations of the world. We're in the birth pangs, as Jesus would describe that in Matthew 24. And these contractions, they're getting closer and closer together. So I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ, confess your sins, make him the Lord of your life. And that's not just a profession unto belief, but it's a profession unto belief, unto living, unto producing fruit, unto doing good works like Charlie did. That's all I have for this episode. I'm not sure when I'll record another one, but I appreciate you listening. And you can follow me on the Myth of Education podcast. It's a lot more controversial over there. And then just stay tuned for what's to come. The Lord is up to something. Never forget that. Never lose sight of that. We just need to turn our hearts back to God. And we need all of these Christians to stop cowering in their churches. We need all of these pastors to get rid of their agendas. You don't need a bigger building. You don't need another building. What you should be doing is training up other ministers to go off and to fulfill the call of leading people in their lives. Train people up and send them out. Stop hoarding God's people in buildings. Stop it. Stop it. It is time for us to build God's house. And by building his house, he's not talking about brick and mortar. He's talking about hearts. He's talking about the Great Commission. God has not changed his mind about what he created the church for. What happened in the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts, this thing is not going to die in some building somewhere. I hope that you hear me. Please share this broadcast. Much love.